Isn't it nice to hear that voice, Wendy? That voice you just heard doing the news? Isn't that nice?
I hate to admit I missed him.
We all missed him.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
it. We missed you, Steve.
Nice to be back. We had a great trip to Ireland. 45 fantastic listeners. You know, you guys really should see what happens, because we go to great hotels, great events, and all that stuff, see people. But the friendships that are formed and the community that comes up with this bus is so much fun. It's just a blast. And so we had a great time with the folks this time.
I'm so glad you had fun. That everybody, that 45 listener, 45 wonderful listeners. And well, how many bad ones out of the... No,
there were probably 44 happy. I think there was one...
One unhappy. Still, it's a great percentage.
I like those numbers.
High percentage.
Absolutely.
Is the Emerald Isle, is that hold true?
Oh, my. We had the best weather. I mean, it was shocking. We really had maybe 20 minutes of rain, and it was such a soft rain that you could see it. I'm not kidding. This is weird. You could see it in the air, but you couldn't feel it when it hit you.
Yeah.
I mean,
that
it
makes
that
sense.
Night. Beautiful. It was actually too warm. I'd packed for the 60s, mid-60s, and I needed some shorts.
Wendy, Steve was telling me that for breakfast, the Lucky Charms are so fresh there, because they pick them right there.
Well, and the leprechaun delivers them.
Yeah.
How much Guinness did you...
Always after me, Lucky Charms.
Do you have a lot of Guinness?
I had enough Guinness, but it's changed, too, now, where there are a lot more beers, even local beers, available. So Guinness is still their big thing. We went to the Guinness storehouse and... toasted from there, and yeah, it was just a great time.
No, is it like, here's what people have told me. I've never been to Australia, because it's a this is for comparative purposes only.
That was confusing.
But you know how, like, here in the United States, because we've been told Foster's is the beer of Australia.
Oh, right.
I've been told by everyone I know who's ever been to Australia that it's not that plentiful, it's not that popular, but I fell for it all the way. Is there any product like that in Ireland that we just assume everyone in Ireland uses Irish Spring? They must, and
well,
they don't.
That's big. And no, but Guinness really is big. I mean, it is as big as you would think.
It is.
There.
Okay.
That's because they use it to change the oil in their car as well.
They used to consider it medicine. Guinness for strength.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Cure what ails you.
Said an Irish person.
Right. But yeah. And so that's really big. But there just are more choices now. They have more microbreweries and things like that.
Yeah.
Which they didn't have. But
go on, Wendy.
Well, St. Patrick's Day also not
as big a deal. No, a bigger deal here,
more
I've been
of
told.
A religious thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've undergone a tremendous change in the past 15, 20 years when it comes to religion as well. The Catholic Church still holds sway in many areas, but not nearly as strong as it used to be.
Yeah.
Not nearly as strong as it used to be. But we had a great time. Quick plug, we're going to go to Madrid, Paris, San Sebastian, and Bordeaux in May. And
that's all one trip?
Yeah. And that's May 1st, and we have about 10 spots left on that. So
that's selling fast.
A lot of reservations while it was gone, but yeah.
I'm sorry, how can people plan that far in advance? That makes me so nervous.
It's not that far.
May?
Yeah. I mean, it'll be here before you know it.
It's May 1st. It's early May.
Yeah, it's early May.
That makes a big difference. All right, I'll book.
But really, I'm so grateful to have a chance to do this because I just have so much fun.
And Steve, some of the people who have taken one trip with you then find themselves on more than one. Right?
Typically, and these are all WGN trips, you know. I'll have, like, the Switzerland trip we went on was probably 70 to 80% repeat.
And that's phenomenal.
Ireland is the entry drug, so that those usually are new people.
Yeah.
But when we're going to go to Portugal next month, and there'll be, again, 60 to 70% repeat passengers. So it's a good thing.
Trip for Wendy and I in Hobart, has that been looked at? They were thinking about it. Are they still considering that or not?
I think it's Hobart, technically.
Yeah, we got to get it right if we're going
there. Say the name right, okay.
You're welcome. You just have to get your enhanced license plates first, our driver's
license.
That's fair.
All right, that's easy to do.
I missed you guys, though.
We missed you. While you were gone, we didn't have anyone do the news. We just had a blank open space.
I'll say the world.
See, thank you.
Nobody said that.
I sent Wendy a picture of my I'll Say the World t-shirt.
As you do every day.
On the Dingle Peninsula.
The Dingle?
That's where we went.
Appropriately named.
Dingle Peninsula.
Wouldn't you say?
Yes.
I think they picked the right name for it.
And the right tour guide.
Wow. That didn't take long, did it, Steve?
Glad you're back.
That did not take long.
10-12.
Yep. Yep.
It is.
Are you in the mood to feel old, Wendy? Can I say something that'll make you feel really nice and old? This is my favorite game to play with you.
Yeah.
Bruce Springsteen is 70 years old today.
Wow.
Still older than us. I don't feel that old.
Oh, I feel bad. Yeah, I guess you're right. I saw that first thing this morning, and it jolted me, because in my head, Bruce Springsteen is not 70 years old, but in actuality, as of today, your boss would be 70 years old.
I got to tell you, he is in way better shape.
Incredible.
And looking better than he ever has.
Yep.
So there's hope for me. I got a
yes,
couple there almost is. 20 years.
Yes, there is. Very positive spin on this. Aren't there people that when you hear their age, you go, well, that's impossible. There's no way that guy or that girl could be that age. And I know that 70, as I get closer and closer to 70, 70 is not old at all. There was a time where 70 in my head was an older person. I don't feel that way anymore. It's just hard for me to equate Bruce Springsteen and that number. It doesn't fit.
50 is the new 30, 70 is the new 50.
Hmm.
100 is dead.
Yeah. That will remain a constant. All right, why don't we do this? We'll take a break. When we come back, a friend of the show, Sven Gulli, has some big news for you.
I'm your boogeyman. That's what I am. I'm here to whatever I can.
Phil, you seem like you're in a quandary.
Yeah, I don't know how to do this, Wendy. You want to do it?
Let's just say hi first and see who answers, and then we'll know who we have on.
All right.
Hi, mystery caller. Which one are you?
I am a mystery caller. You do not know who I am. I just missed out on Irish talk, and I'm mad about it.
Our guest, everybody, Henry Kissinger. Welcome
I'd
to the show,
to
Mr.
Say
Kissinger.
That I love Jill St. John.
Oh, she's
Thank
the best.
You very much.
She's the best. Rich Coase and Sven Gulli, two guests for the price of one. Hi, fellas.
Well, hello.
Why are you so nervous, Bill?
I don't want to introduce you incorrectly. I, you know, we know you as Rich Coase, but many listeners know you as Sven Gulli. So I wanted to make sure both get their due time. Does that make sense?
Well, that's very nice. Yes, but I think you know that I'm kind of an amalgam. So
yeah,
I could have been amalgam McDowell.
Yes. Rich,
some congratulations are in order. You will be honored with a resolution from the city council to mark your 40th year playing the horror host Sven Gulli. What does that mean? What's a resolution? What is happening? We just saw it and wanted to congratulate you and have you tell us what it is.
Well, that's very nice of you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I guess Alderman Ray Lopez, in conjunction with Brian Bernardoni, who often appears on the Sunday Spin with Ron Pearson.
Mm-hmm. Pearson.
Worked on this, and they put together a resolution that went to the city council that just, you know, honors me for my 40 years dressed like a goof, basically. But it's very nice. It's so complimentary and a great honor that, you know, it's an important thing, I guess.
Once you get an action figure of you, then everything's going to happen.
Everything's cake after that.
Well, I have an action figure. You
I know.
We know that. So, Rich,
well, do you know about the comic book?
Yes. Tell everybody. This is huge news.
It is. And it's just incredible. Starting in all the DC comics that come out every week, starting October 16th, there's going to be these little chapters of Sven Gulli meets the DC Universe, in which Sven Gulli is facing a terrible, deadly menace, and he has to get involved with the Justice League, Superman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, The Flash, etc., to try to stem this terrible menace. And it's just amazing. It's so cool that, you know, I used to love reading the comics when I was a kid and have still followed up on them, and now it's like I'm going to be in them, and that just blows me away.
You look so good in cartoon form. Can I just tell you that?
Well, Chris Jones, the artist, captured everything. I think I mentioned in one of the interviews I did, he's even got, you know, my less than perfect posture down in a lot of the things. But it's just so amazing to me. And I'm just, you know, very, very flattered. And they're even sending me to the New York Comic Con at the beginning of October to make an appearance and do a signing, and they'll do a panel about me and the book there. So it's a big deal.
How did that come to be, Rich? Because that's such an incredible story for you to be on the pages of DC. Did they approach you at first and say, hey, we've got this idea that's kind of brewing, or was it already a done deal? What happened?
Well, it actually started a few years ago at the C2E2 Comics and Entertainment Convention that's always
in
Chicago.
McCormick Place. Yeah.
And there was a guy waiting in line to meet me who was a fan. It turned out it was Dan DiDio, the publisher of DC Comics.
Wow.
Who waited in line, you know, a half hour or so just to meet me.
Yeah.
And we talked and got together a couple times and saw each other at the various events. He was the one that was responsible for me in that being in that Mad magazine.
Oh, yeah.
Which was very cool, and I thought, well, that's it. And he'd say, you know, oh, well, we should do something else down the line. And I was fine with it, and he ended up getting in touch with the folks at MeTV and said, here's what I'm proposing, Svengoolie meets the DC Universe, and it just kind of took off from there.
Boy, Rich, the last time something like this happened was when Art Norman was in an episode of Little Lulu. Remember that?
I thought it was in Dennis the Menace.
Dennis the Menace, you're right.
Oh, okay.
He was a wacky neighbor.
Norman.
Yeah, that was years ago, Wendy. That was a long time ago.
All right, well, what is next for you? As we mentioned, and the Svengoolie action figure is awesome. Mad Magazine, DC Comics. What is left?
Broadway.
The musical.
Round to old Broadway.
You know, you joke, but Svengoolie the musical
that
might
be great.
Yeah. Start writing.
Yeah, and you know, I sing so well. That would be a big. I mean, I don't know. It's like this has all been so tremendous, and the fact that, you know, the show's on nationally now, and people all over the country are fans, which again is so flattering to me. I don't know what would be next. I just know we're going to keep going as usual. There will be an event at the Museum of Broadcasting on Saturday, October 26th. Again, where they will, you know, it's been closed up because they sold off a couple of the floors there. And they had to put away a lot of the exhibits, and they're going to have a new temporary exhibit of my original coffin and some of the set pieces. And it'll be a nice little event, again, where, again, I'm tooting my own horn here.
Well, rightfully so.
And it'll be, you know, honoring my 40 years as Svengoolie.
Now, I want to point this out, Rich, 40 years playing the role of Svengoolie, but you were with the show prior to getting that part. You were a writer on the show for several years prior, right?
Right. I was a fan of the original Svengoolie, Jerry G. Bishop, and just because I was a fan, I sent him jokes and material, which he liked, and he decided that I should work with him there, and then after that show was done in radio, and he was the one that decided I should be Son of Svengoolie, and very generously, you know, kind of turned the keys to the franchise over to me. And, you know, he's the guy that's responsible for all this, and I'll never forget that.
All right, over the course of your years, you've made a big fan in Mark Hamill, who, of course, was Luke Skywalker. Maybe your next step is to be in a new Star Wars movie. Wouldn't that be something in a new cantina scene?
Yeah, or else I could be like Yoda Jr. or something. The chicken you must throw.
So Mark Hamill is a big fan of yours. And mm-hmm.
But
you
didn't believe it was hit right when he contacted you. You thought it was a gag, right?
I did. You know, I got an email from him, and I thought, you know, there are people who try to pass themselves off as me, you know, the lowest level of celebrity possible. And, you know, it wasn't until we decided he should put something on Twitter, because I knew he had a verified account. And when he finally put something up there, I knew, wow, this is for real. And I, you know, it's very, very flattering. He's always said so many nice things about me.
What other celebs have reached out to you?
Gilbert Gottfried, of course.
Of course.
Rick Baker, the famous makeup guy.
Yeah.
And Sergio Aragonés.
From Mad Magazine?
Yes, he's been a fan.
Wow.
Bill Hader.
Really?
Oh, my God.
What happened there? How did you find that out?
I found that out because one day he was on the morning TV show at WCIU, and supposedly was very surprised to see, you know, my set there. At the time, we were in the same studio. I never got to meet him, but they said that he was a big fan of the show. So,
any award winner.
Award winner. Let me add a name to the list. The great Doc Emrick, a huge fan of your work.
Yes, I know, and I'm always so amazed when in the middle of a hockey game he mentions, you know, and in Chicago where Svengoolie throws his chicken.
Yeah.
It's just so cool.
Let me mention another name, Bill Leff.
Yeah, gigantic fan. You know
one
that.
Of my favorites. I've always tried to emulate him by wearing a hat, but it doesn't always work.
You don't want to mess your hair.
No, your hair's
speaking
perfect.
Of hats, maybe I'm not supposed to say this, but you know we've had a lot of special anniversary merchandise.
Yeah.
for my anniversary at Svengoolie.com, just click on the store button. Coming up, there'll be yet another shirt, but later on, there's going to be, and I don't know how to put this without giving too much away, there's going to be a special object that contains many objects, and one of those might just be a hat.
That was a mysterious plug, Reg.
Well, I told you earlier, I'm a very mysterious
person. Yes, you did. You proved it. You just proved it. All right, so give that again. It's an object that contains other objects, and there may be a hat involved.
Yes, and much more.
And if people want to know more, where do they go?
Just keep watching in the store at Svengoolie.com.
Okay.
You know, I just found something on Etsy, Bill. If you'd like to describe this, you can actually purchase a Svengoolie art print.
Oh, it's stunning.
It starts with a chicken, a rubber chicken.
It always does, Wendy. Doesn't it?
And then it goes to a skull with long hair. And then this is...
It looks like a member of the Grateful Dead, but it's Rich as Svengoolie. And Rich, I don't even know if this is something you're behind or endorsed. It's artwork. It's like the four stages of Svengoolie. Have you ever seen that?
You want us to order it for you?
I think I have. It's one of the many, pardon me for saying, bootleg items that are out there.
Oh.
We keep our lawyers very busy anytime these show up.
Well, I'll give you another one.
You've got another one?
No, this one, definitely. So it's still on Etsy. And
yeah. Well, you know, what can you do? It's amazing. Yet another, I guess, you know, part of being national and people
and beloved.
Know who I am.
That's because you're beloved.
Yeah, you're beloved.
Or is it beloved?
Well,
you're
both. Somebody with an art print like that is beloving his money more than anything else. But, you know, I know. In a way, it's flattering, but also it's like you like to have, you know, Svengoolie is a licensed character.
Of course.
Exactly.
Rich, we're so proud of you for this this honor, and congrats on 40 years as Svengoolie. There's nothing easy about that. That's fantastic.
Well, thank you. You know, and you guys have always been very supportive of me, and, you know, that means the world to me.
Well, we hope to see you soon.
Oh, I think that we've already talked about a possible visit in the future.
A visit on Halloween. Thank you.
You know what I love?
What's that, Rich?
I love all the Bill Left game shows that you come up with.
Oh, isn't he good?
They make me laugh constantly. Maybe that, for that day you can come up with one that I can participate in.
All right, you got a deal. We'll pull that off.
Challenge is on.
We'll make it happen. Thank you, Rich. We're proud of you.
Thank you guys so much, and I will see you soon.
Rich Coe's the great Svengoolie, the legendary Svengoolie. 40
Thank
years
you,
of service, Wendy, 40 years.
How about it? Bruce Springsteen was only 30 years old.
When you're right. Wow, that was quick math. All right, we'll do a break. We'll get you some news. And then Dennis McKinnon, former Bear great Dennis McKinnon, joins us. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Oh, I'm envisioning Steve Fuller dancing.
Yeah.
It was not good.
How terrible was that? Just a validation that those of our Caucasian have no rhythm.
That is the voice of Dennis McKinnon, Silky D, the book, Chicago Bears number 85, Silky D Bears All, written by Dennis McKinnon and Chet Kopick. So nice to see you, Dennis.
It's so wonderful to be down here in your new digs.
Yeah,
this is
what
sweet.
Do you think? Not bad.
Not like the original place.
Not bad.
But you can't beat the view.
Right. So true. People have said that the 1985 Chicago Bears are the greatest assembly of football players that's ever happened in the NFL. Do you agree or disagree?
I'd say yes, because at a time when you had to be tough to play this game. It's a lot easier now,
yeah.
And they don't allow contact.
Yeah.
It's more of a fashion show, all about me, not about the team.
Yeah.
You know, and then that's kind of not what a real fan remembers. We like the gladiator sport. We like hitting. We like pain. We like suffering. Because, you know, for those of who work all week, we look forward to Sunday kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
And during my era, if you were Catholic, they moved church up an hour so that you would not miss Bears kickoff.
How about
really?
That?
That's when you know you're
that?
Good.
But
so God is
a big football fan.
Yes.
So, but they say that one of the reasons that they have softened the game is for the longevity of the players, not just to play longer, but to live longer. What do you think about that?
Well, I understand that the seed of the National Football League is Little League. There are more moms now who have more control over where their kid plays now. The league could not afford to lose that money. So we actually, though, we were really concerned about safety. Now we have the blue tents on the sideline, which is really a reflection of Dave Duerson with the CTE.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And more importantly with that is that it is a great game. if I can come out of it unscathed,
mm-hmm.
at a time where they didn't care about safety, imagine what the players are protected by today. So I tell parents, yeah, your kid can play right now. It's a lot safer than it ever has been. And they're making sure of that so you can sleep better at night.
But it's interesting you said when you played it was more of a team sport instead of a me sport. I didn't realize. You're absolutely right.
There was no free agency. We were still in a lot of ways slave labor. And we were able to go on strike in 87 to get the league, or the courts in this case, to specify that what the league was doing was illegal. And they created free agency. But the first player who changed teams for free agency, people don't remember, was Wilbur Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
5 years, $6 million guaranteed to go to Washington. So he was the first. So that's a pioneer there.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Duras, in terms of CTE, with the blue tents on the sideline, is a pioneer there. Walter died of bile duct cancer. Now he's a face of the league in terms of the Man of the Year award. So I have three teammates of mine who will be talking about their legacy forever.
That's great. So what are we going to learn about in this book other than, boy, you loved your mommy? You loved your mommy.
There's not a player that plays any sport that won't talk about mom.
That's pretty sweet.
And I think with the way the world is going right now, whether that's political, whether it talks about multiple change, climate change, police brutality, we want to talk about Colin Kaepernick and all those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
These are real life issues, and domestic violence is huge. The league for so many decades looked the other way. They can't do it anymore. We've been exposed. So from that perspective, I think there has to be dialogue and conversation about what's important for every young man who is a bully.
Mm-hmm.
I tell, imagine that being your sister or your mom who's being abused. What would you do if you found out who it was? As me having teammates who are doing some of those things, who are bragging about it, I have no respect for you. So to me, anytime you raise a hand to a woman, you're no longer a man. And I think the National Football League, being who it was, you needed to address that and put things in place that players that do this will not be allowed to play in this league.
They're not doing that, Dennis. Why aren't they doing that?
Money.
That's what it is, isn't it?
It's all about money.
Yeah.
And think about athletic ability and God-given ability doesn't allow you to be dishonest and to be that kind of brutal person.
Yeah.
To a defenseless woman. And from that perspective, there are players in this league right now. We hopefully finally finish in the Antonio Brown situation.
Yeah.
The Tyreek Hill situation in Kansas City, he should never be allowed to see the field.
Yeah.
Great talent does not give you a pass. To me, as ethics should be first and foremost in the minds of our owners, and they need to address that because we're still seeing guys getting passes.
So how would you handle it? You said it happened to you. You had teammates that were being physically abusive to the women in their lives. What was your reaction? How did you handle that?
The easiest way of dealing with that, when you're doing events and sponsors say, well, I heard that you have such and such on your roster. Well, if he's going to be part of your roster, we're not going to support your event.
Yeah.
Sponsors have tremendous amount of power.
Yeah.
So imagine if the league started losing a lot of sponsorship money.
Yeah.
Things would change dramatically.
Yes. You're absolutely right. The book is called Chicago Bear number 85, Silky D. Bears All, Dennis McKinnon with Chet Kopic. I was telling you off the air, it still shocks me when I think about Chet and he is no longer with us. I can't believe that man is no longer with us.
He was in my eyes white chocolate. He was white, but he was so sweet. And everybody had to have a piece. And
God, that is, he would love that.
And I was so looking forward to us going on tour with this book.
Yeah.
And I'm specifying that, I still have his voice in my head. I can't get rid of it. I still have his last emails. His
all
last
right, text Silgate.
Yes. And it's, you're talking about almost a 40-year friendship. And we finally got an opportunity to collaborate together, and now I got to go on the show without him. But I'll be talking third party as long as this book's on the market.
Yeah.
And make sure no one ever forgets who Chet Kopic was and is, and the impact he's had on Chicago, not just around the country, but Chicago in terms of radio.
He started talk radio here.
He's the
for
man.
Sure.
That's why we say he's the godfather.
Sports talk radio, I should say.
Is that Mickey offer you can't refuse? and that's Chet. And so to me is, a different personality took place whenever he had a mic in his hand.
Yeah.
And the memories that he had and the stories that he could tell is worth the price of admission.
It was so funny. Upon his passing, you'd hear people reminisce about Chet, and they would tell one story that didn't paint him in a very good light, and then another story that wouldn't paint him in a very good light, and then they'd always go, I love the guy. Like, they would say things about him that normally you'd go, is that good or bad? But
well,
then it always ended with, I love
the beautiful girl in the world, you say, I really don't like it, but I still want to date her. I mean, so there's nothing perfect about any of us, but there's certain qualities that we just have to have.
Yeah. You mentioned Colin Kaepernick. I was going to ask you at some point, what's your idea of what went down with Colin Kaepernick? Why didn't he get another job quarterbacking
the
football team?
I have a brother who served in the Gulf War, was in the Army for 32 years. So it was a Desert Storm in Gulf War. I have a lot of friends who are first responders. And there's a tremendous amount of respect for those who protect our borders and allow us to sleep good at night. And we raise money for all their charities. And we pay homage to our veterans. So sometimes the message is lost in terms of what kneeling actually is. It's about a culture, about brutality, about equal rights. And sometimes people who never had to fight for those things, we call that privilege, don't actually get it. You know, and I think with that, go to a game. When they're playing the national anthem, see how many people don't take off their cap. Mm-hmm. See how many people are actually on their phones, not with their hands across their heart. They're disrespecting the flag. But you're concerned about a guy on the field? Mm-hmm. Let's be real. You can't be American when it's convenient.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
Do you think there was some collusion with NFL owners to not bring him back?
No, there's no doubt about it.
There's no question.
Every Sunday, there are about 25 quarterbacks who are awful.
Yeah.
Who are working.
Yeah.
You know, and this is a guy who actually took the San Francisco 49ers to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Okay, and there's might be some rust, but he's still better than a lot of quarterbacks that are still in the league. So, yes, there is some black ball that's tied to that.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, the Kaepernick situation causes so much communication that we have to have anyway.
Yeah.
Stop talking about all these committees that you're putting together as National Football League when you have a young man who deserves an opportunity to play, because what he did is a lot different than someone knocking a woman out and still having an opportunity to play on Sunday.
You're absolutely right. And you said your brother and some other relatives served. Thank
yes.
them for their service for us. But do you think that it was disrespectful? Do they think, rather, that Colin Kaepernick was disrespectful to troops?
No, because at the end of the day, we're gladiators on the battlefield or on the gridiron.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think there's a tremendous amount of respect. You have to have a great DNA to go fight for this country. And for so many of those who've come home on U.S. soil and the way they've been treated, you want to talk about disrespect? The government disrespects our veterans more than anybody. Let's keep it real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think from that perspective, as an athlete, if you want to bring attention to something, don't just do it during season, do it year-round. I think that's the format, is that more times than not, people look at you and what you make for a living. They can't get beyond the money.
Yeah.
If I was at my job, I would say, no, you're not making $30 million a year.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't get to have that kind of dialogue and conversation. But as a true American, someone who works 9 to 5, that's a different category in terms of what that athlete does. Those are the best in the world at what they do. So a lot of time when you haven't been in that situation, don't have that kind of talent, you really don't have an opportunity to sit at the table and have that conversation.
Sure.
You know, and I think with that, it is really about, there are a lot of people who are called themselves American who really don't honor the flag that we never talk about. We're only onus and on athletes,
yeah.
Which is not cool.
Dennis McKinnon is here. His new book is called Silky D Bears All, written by Dennis McKinnon and the late, great Chet Kopic. We'll take a little break, come back with more. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder in studio with us. Silky D himself, the great Dennis McKinnon, wide receiver extraordinaire for your Chicago Bears. The new book is called Silky D Bears All. Dennis wrote it with the great Chet Kopic.
Chet Kopic have his fur coat on when he wrote this
the whole
with
time?
You, Dennis?
Was he wearing it the whole time?
We talked about that a lot. I'm like, you know what? How come Peter has never been out?
Right, throwing paint on him.
Throwing paint on him. And he said, you know what? What did he tell me? He said,
we're back on, by the way.
You can't protest style.
You can't protest style.
And I was, you know, because I closed my eyes and I can still see him.
Yeah.
And I think the first time I saw him, I didn't know he was that tall.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
You know, and as he got older, he got shorter. Back problems,
yeah.
Knee problems,
yeah.
Surgery. He was in so much pain.
Mm.
You know, but the voice, the memories never changed.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, he have his diet cup. Got to
that's
have his
right.
diet cup.
Bears game tonight. I suppose you'll be watching it. Will you be making chili?
Well, it's going to be warm here. You're going to be in the Capitol, but, you know, Jordan Howard, their all-pro tight end, has concussion issues. He probably will never play again. Trent Williams at left tackle, still holding out. So all they have is Adrian Peterson with no offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, should be an easy win. Should be a confidence booster for us because, you know what, the first half of the Bears season is the easy part of our schedule. Second half is pure hell.
Sure. So and win
we,
now.
We better get our offense together before the second half.
Mitch and Trubisky thoughts.
Game management, I hate that word. But I think that we have seen what he can be and what he can't be. And I think there are limitations to Mitch. The leadership thing is the most important thing for him. You got great running backs. Mm-hmm. And we brought in Montgomery, and you got Cohen. So we should be able to control the clock. We just got to be able to get Trey Burton healthy. He hasn't been healthy since last year. Our defense is what it is. It's still the best in football. But we're playing at least six teams this year that can score 30 points a game. So our offense better get it together.
Yes.
The Mac Nagy genius we've been hearing so much about.
Yeah.
Sometimes trick plays are great. Sometimes you need to just man up.
Yeah.
And run the ball.
And Mitch
can run the ball. The problem with that is, if he goes down, what do we got?
Yeah, then you got a problem. Yep. Dennis, Wendy and I have had many NFL players in the studio, and they move a bit gingerly. They're very slow to move. You don't have that. You're moving very well.
I'm still Soul Train, baby. I've had total knee replacement. I still got it going on.
What's the key to this? How are you managing? You look like you could play today without a problem. What's going on?
It's DNA.
Yeah?
I'm in the gym 4 days a week.
Wow.
I don't drink. I don't smoke.
Yeah.
And I think with that, it's about understanding what your body is, the only body that God gives you.
Yeah.
If you don't take care of it, you're going to be on the side of the road needing a tow truck.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any excuse. But as you get older, you're supposed to get better.
Right.
Because a lot of stress in your life should be gone.
Yeah.
So now it's about quality of life, surrounding yourself with good people and doing great things that make you happy.
Yeah.
And I think with that, how are you going to enjoy yourself if you're constantly in pain? There's no doctor can make money off me because I'm on no medication.
That's fantastic. Good.
You say, enjoy yourself. What do you do for fun? You're retired now. What do you do?
I teach. I mentor.
Look at you.
I teach Little League. I mentor young men who are incarcerated. I raise money for a lot of charities. And like I said, it's I have nothing to really be depressed about. I can't worry about people also, are you so upset with players making this? Well, I can't do anything about when I was born. But I had an opportunity to play a game I love, and my parents got a chance to see me play. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
And in my entire career, I've never been in trouble. So I'm still a very good brand.
Wow.
And I think that's the most important thing. As we get older, we're still supposed to be a reflection of the great tendency and indicate rules that our parents taught us. Mm-hmm. They never change with age.
Mm-hmm.
So my values haven't changed at all. And this is my town. This is Chicago. So as long as I do good, they'll look out for me.
That's right.
You're inspirational.
I know.
One of us had to say it. I'll say it. You're inspirational.
It's being a free agent walk-on.
Yeah.
Most people thought I was drafted. I wasn't.
Yeah.
So everything I ever got in my life, I've earned. And I appreciate that. And I'm humble, and I've always learned how to say thank you.
Yeah.
And take advantage of every opportunity that you get.
Do you keep fantastic. In touch with other Bears that you played with?
I see all the guys all the time. And the thing about it is that we always talk. And I always say, I need to see you. Because sometimes guys will never tell you if things are going bad.
Yeah.
No, I need to physically see you. So that way you can look me in the eye and know everything's okay. And we always have to look out for our brothers no matter
what.
Sure,
of course.
And because the vultures are always circling.
And Walter got his statue out in front of Soldier Field with George Halas.
I'm sitting at the unveiling with Johnny Rowland, who was Walter's running back coach. And to my left is Roland Harper,
mm-hmm.
who was a running back, fullback, who blocked for Walter before Matt Sui. And we're looking at him like, something's missing. Because Walter was always elevated when he would stutter step. famous for the stiff arm.
Mm-hmm.
So there's certain things that we see, that we analyze, we critique. And I said, but he's immortalized now.
Mm-hmm.
And for all Bear fans, for generations to come, they're going to hear about Sweetness. Not only the impact that he had on the National Football League, but the great man that he was.
Yeah.
And for those kids, Brittany and Connie, I can't say anything. I'm always going to be Uncle Dennis.
Yeah. That's excellent.
Sure, yeah.
Yep.
The book is called Chicago Bear Number 85, Silky D Bears All, Dennis McKinnon with Chet Kopic. It's available on Amazon. There's also a website, barelyactive.com.
Barelyactive.com was my site, so you can actually order it from there. And I have it set up through PayPal. So actually, I can actually personalize it and send it to you.
Really?
So you don't have to physically see me.
Oh, that's great.
But you're so inspirational. People should see you. You're here to change the world.
And but when I do come, they do show up.
Oh, I bet.
You know, so sometime when you can't physically get to see me, if you're around the country, yeah. I'll send it to you, signed, personalized.
You're the best, Dennis.
Pleasure
Thank
to
you.
See
great
you.
To
Happy
see
100
you.
Years.
So oh, as they say, and go Bears, and tonight, we're in the capital.
Yeah.
We're in Chocolate City.
Yeah.
But you're not there to entertain. You're there to get a win.
That's true. We got to remember that.
Bertrand is in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. We can say goodbye to Silky D right now. Pleasure to have you.
Oh, Wendy and Bill, thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, Dennis.
Thank
Take
you
care.
For having me in.
Go Bears. Cats and dogs and skinks.
Wow. That was beautiful.
I say that
Wendy.
Because
this is the song before my show. And yeah. Your producer knows that because your producer produced my show.
Yeah.
And he is Steve Dale. What is he, Bill?
Noted. He's a noted pet expert, is what he is.
It's Hi, a hashtag Steve. Now.
Is it really?
Yeah,
it's
I swear.
It's come to that.
I could show you. Yes, it's come to that.
Wow.
That's a good thing.
Congratulations.
Bill, you invented Thank that.
You. I don't know if I invented it. Did
you,
I?
You invented hashtags?
No.
Yes.
You were the first one who said noted pet
he was.
Expert.
Well,
he was.
You it's a designation that you deserve, Steve, in my opinion.
Well, some people are princes and yeah. some people are lords.
Yep.
And I am a
noted pet expert. Yeah, yeah. How are things, Steve? Everything okay in the world of pets?
If I'm here, things are great.
Good.
Yes.
I'd like to hear that.
Yes.
Any coyote update? I know that there was
yeah, you know, so there
a
I go.
Sad story.
Yeah, it is. And you know, the good news in this story is because of WGN Radio, just because of this radio station. So those who may be cynics and say radio still doesn't, the governor knows about the story. And I do mean the governor knows the details about this story because of WGN Radio. Also, no matter where I've gone. So I walk into the studio, Wendy says, where have you been?
Mm-hmm.
I follow you on fact. You're everywhere. So I have been to San Antonio to a Pet Partners Conference. They're the organization that certifies therapy dogs. Great organization. I spoke there and I cannot tell you how many people dozens of people asked me about the coyotes. So all over the country. They are all over the country.
And in a nutshell, the story was this woman had...
this woman saved four baby coyotes. She was an animal rehabilitator. Everyone thought these cubs were going to die. They didn't die. They survived. Now what? So there's no place to reintroduce them to. There's no woods to do that. At that time, may have been different 3 months later, 3 months earlier, but at that time, none of the rehabilitation facilities, the wildlife facilities, were accepting any coyotes.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't reintroduce them back because they're bonded to people.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no wild, as I said, to introduce them back to anyway. So what do you do? She said, well, I don't know. I'll get the right permits. She did. And for 13 years, her backyard, which she spent thousands making a coyote playground, was certified as just that. No problem with the Illinois or the U.S. Departments of Agriculture.
She got all
no,
this.
No department. No
permits.
Yeah, no problem with anyone for 13 years, not 13 days. 13 years. And now these coyotes, 13 is not young for a coyote. It's getting up there. And one morning, the Illinois Department of Natural Resources is at her door with a gun pointed at her.
That's just crazy to me.
I know. Unannounced. Now the guns are pointed at the coyotes, tranquilizer darts. They could have said, because she said, my coyotes, I don't know why you're I don't understand. She didn't pay. She did not pay a permit. A $25 permit. They would not allow her to pay it. They would not allow her to pay that and a late fee of some kind. Just end of story. Coyotes should be confiscated. And she said, well, if they have to be, let me just ask them to go into their crates. Like dogs, they're crate trained. They said, no, we don't have time. The lead investigator reportedly said, I need to go on vacation. I don't have time. Because she said it would take about 30 minutes to do that because they were so agitated at that point, the animals were. So they shot him point blank at close range with the tranquilizer gun, dragged them into a truck, dumped them into a truck, and vaccinated them for a vaccine they did not need. Weeks later, they're dead, three of the four. I would argue from that trauma.
And
for those who are saying, Steve, you're only saying taking one side of the story, you're not. I saw the video.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing now. You know, people have phones. So that was videotaped. And I saw it. I saw with my own eyes what went on. It was unnecessary. Unnecessary for them to come to her house in the first place.
So why did it happen, Steve? What happened? What's the story behind the story? They must have gotten complaints from somebody.
No, well, yes. Yeah. Yes, one person as far as she knows. So the neighbors have actually over the years chipped in to help her, and they think it's kind of fun that there are coyotes living there. There's never been a problem with her neighbors, except one gentleman from the Illinois Department of Natural Resources moved into the neighborhood and allegedly said, "I don't like the coyotes howling at night."
I can understand that, but
they never escaped their enclosure. There's no cases of that ever happening.
Never.
All right.
Never, ever a problem with the coyotes.
So what's her move now? She's lost three of the four. What happens
Well,
now?
She went to court to try to get the fourth back home to her as her hope. Or if not, at least have that coyote who was languishing at the facility without care that the coyote was in sent to an appropriate facility that really knows how to care for coyotes. And that is the choice that was made. They still won't let the coyote go home with her. So the coyote just went, this is an update, friends, just went yesterday, I believe, to Indiana. And is so far doing okay. Yeah. I mean, there was concern that this 13-year-old animal would even make the trip, you know, because older animal, really stressed out, not knowing what's going on, very confused, pulled away from the only home the animal has known. And you know what? It's not like I'm sort of this like crazy coyote guy, but this is wrong. It's just wrong. I don't understand it. Now, I still have hope because I know Governor Pritzker is the humane individual he is, or the head of the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, will say, you know, if the coyote's able physically, the coyote can still come back home, back to Illinois to live with her for the remaining whatever time is left in Luna. That's the coyote's name. Life.
That would be nice, just to let her finish her life.
Yeah, yep.
Is the Bureau that confiscated the coyotes, are they apologetic at all about the deaths of the three? They're not?
No.
No?
No.
Does that surprise you?
Yeah,
a little bit.
Based on what their mission is supposed to be, protecting our resources.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did was totally appropriate if we lived in 1950, when there are no other ways to do these things. But we don't live in 1950 anymore. It was barbaric.
So what does the government involvement mean? What, him being involved in all this, what do you think will happen?
My hope is that the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, their president or... I think chairman is with the right title, Costello, or our governor comes in. Now, listen, if the governor can save criminals, then the governor can pardon a coyote who did nothing wrong. I mean, this coyote didn't do anything wrong. It would be like you not renewing your driver's license. You're given a warning. There was no warning given. Mm-hmm. But your car is not taken away.
Right.
And if your car were taken away, it would not be...
At gunpoint?
Right.
Right.
I mean, it would not be ruined.
Yeah.
It would not be trash.
It's very upsetting, Steve.
Yeah. So, you know, hopefully, so the, but there's good news
What's
here.
What's the good news in this?
The coyote probably never would have gone to Indiana if it was arguably not for the social media buzz that all of this created, that the owner, Tommy Chanchita, began. But we certainly contributed to a lot on WGN Radio. On these trips you talk about that I take, I would periodically get a call from the governor's office. I mean, they really do want to kind of help.
Yeah.
Although
everyone should go to Indiana once. I think
just
so,
once?
Yeah. It's right next door.
The dunes are close by. Yeah.
Yes.
So hopefully this will end better. I mean, you know, my hope is that the Illinois Department of Natural Resources will change some of their policies.
Sure.
If nothing else, we can learn from this. Can be a learning moment.
Yeah.
And what happened was wrong, but now we can not make the same mistake twice, my hope is.
That'd
and
be
if
a
someone
positive.
Doesn't pay for a permit, first of all, remind them that they need to. Isn't that what most government agencies do? They send a reminder.
You would hope. Yeah.
And if you don't pay it, okay, you pay a late fee or something.
Right.
You don't take the animals away unless, you know, the animals are being treated inhumanely or something.
Yeah, right.
Which was not the case.
No, it was not.
We need to take a quick break, and then I want to talk to you about some treats you can give your dog.
Oh, you won't believe some of these things that you can give your dog or your cat, and they are okay to give. And what's more,
yes,
your pets will go crazy for them.
Oh.
I gave Kona a part of a nectarine, a little piece of a nectarine.
Yeah.
He loved it. And my sister's dog ate lettuce, which is like doesn't taste like anything.
Yeah.
So I tried it. Kona eats romaine only, not iceberg.
Oh, interesting.
Ah, picky. All right.
More with noted pet expert Steve Dale in just a moment or two. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
We love our pets. We love Steve Dale, noted pet expert. And what kind of snacky poos can we share with our cats and dogs and snails?
So, no, the snails might be the snack. I'm not so sure of that.
Mm.
Yes, I mean, people do know about peanut butter. They know about, what did we mention, either before the break or during the break?
Nectarines.
Maybe.
Lettuce.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know that all dogs love lettuce. Your dog seems to, and a little bit. So, first of all, I want to make it clear that we're talking about less than 10% of any of these things in your dog's diet.
Little tiny tastes.
Treats. Yeah, they're just little treats and things your dog might get really turned on about. Now, we all know about hot dogs with dogs, right?
Dogs like name.
Dogs. Yes.
Dogs like hot dogs?
Of course.
Their cannibalistic side kicks in.
Is that true? I didn't know that.
But turkey dogs actually are okay. But let me give you some others that you might not have thought about. Marshmallow cream.
Fluff?
Yeah.
Dogs really?
Or cats. Cats also seem the little mini marshmallows.
Yes.
Or even bigger ones than that.
Yeah.
Cats, like some cats, love and will eventually crave marshmallows.
But is all that sugar a good idea for a cat? No, it's not.
A little bit.
Maybe.
Yeah. Just a little bit. Not necessarily every day, just a little bit.
Yeah.
How about olives?
Cats, I haven't tried that.
Cats in particular have a thing, it seems.
For olives.
For olives.
Green or black?
Black or green, yeah.
Green.
Oh.
And no pits, please.
Salty.
No.
They like salty, maybe.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Or pimentos. They're big with cats.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that's it. Easy cheese or the
cheese
berries.
Whiz?
Yeah. Yeah.
Two different things, guys. Cheese Whiz is in a jar. Easy cheese is in the aerosol.
Yeah.
But if you could teach
your dog or cat to spray the aerosol cheese, you're ahead of the game, aren't you?
Well, I know one veterinarian who really impresses clients by, okay, so they walk into the room, right?
Yeah.
The exam room.
Yeah.
And he has, in Cheese Whiz, the dog's name spelled out.
Oh.
So this is great.
Yeah.
First of all, this is a good thing.
I wish my doctor would do that. I'd get a physical more often.
First of all, would Cheese Whiz be your choice, though?
No, probably not.
No. But first of all, it's cool the dog's name is spelled out.
Yeah.
We like that.
Yeah.
But secondly, the dog goes right there for the Cheese Whiz, and three vaccines the dog doesn't even know.
Oh, that's
right?
Great.
You know, or the exam begins, and the dog doesn't necessarily even know that. Baby food without onions. Anchovy paste.
Why anchovy paste?
I don't know. Is it? Maybe the salt again, right?
Oh, the salt.
But they seem to like it. Vegemite.
Oh.
The Australian treat?
Yes.
Good thing dogs eat it because I won't.
I won't either. So, and we're not only talking Australian cattle dogs. So this
all
is,
dogs.
Yes. So this is a product from Australia that most Americans do not like. It's a spread kind of like peanut butter,
but
not really.
It tastes like caulk. Have you ever had caulk? It has that same delicious taste as caulk.
You're actually right.
Yeah.
I agree with that, but it seems that lots of dogs like that. Cheerios.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Just the regular, not the honey nut, not the cinnamon.
Just the regular.
Regular Cheerios.
And it turns out that a lot of dogs that are ill, not feeling particularly well, they won't eat anything, but they'll eat Cheerios. Baby food, I mentioned that's another that they'll eat when they're not feeling well. Yeah, yeah. So these are just some ideas. Bonita fish flakes, by the way.
What is that?
It's a thing you get in Japan. It's on your next trip to Japan.
Yeah.
But a lot of supermarkets sell it, too. And they're fish flakes.
Flakes or cakes?
Flakes.
Okay.
Like cornflakes? No?
No. And
like
it's
what?
Like they're softer than cornflakes.
Yeah.
It's like fish food,
almost.
And I guess we need someone to help me here, but I guess it's sold. I know it's sold in grocery stores, and people eat them as snacks in Japan. But that's something sometimes dogs and cats go crazy.
Steve, do you remember the gibbon that I used to have, Peanut the
Peanut!
Gibbon? Yeah,
yes.
Do you remember him?
What did Peanut like?
Well, twice a week after I'd get home from school, we would give him Bugles. Do you remember Bugles?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he loved Bugles.
There was Bugles, and then there was another one that
What's the other one? I don't remember the other one. Oh, he would only eat bugles.
Love bugles.
Yeah. I had a hamster who could play the bugle. So I topped you.
What was his song, choice? What was his most famous song?
Hello, Dolly.
I wish I could have seen that.
Yeah. Exciting time.
Why do you say that, Steve?
September 28th What's is a holiday.
On? Yeah.
And it's not that far off, right? No. I mean, yeah. And you need to prepare to celebrate for these things.
Yeah.
So it's International Rabies Day.
Oh, that's my favorite holiday.
Yes. But you know what? People really, they don't think about it. I mean,
right.
In all seriousness, in other nations all over the world, rabies really is an issue. And we can laugh about it here only because we vaccinate.
Countries, they don't vaccinate, and that's what the problem is?
Rabies can come from dogs and other animals.
Yeah.
Of course. Other animals as well. But they have all these dogs roaming, you know, and they don't vaccinate, and the dogs can spread rabies or get rabies from other animals, and before they die, they can spread rabies as well.
Right.
So in other countries around the world, people die of rabies. In America, they do.
Yeah.
It's a handful, you know. And the thing about rabies, if you get it, you're not going to feel better the next day. You know, I think there was one person in the last, I think this is true, one person, human, in America in the last 50 years who's contracted rabies that has survived.
Really?
Yeah. So
what's going on with that guy, I wonder?
Well, he's lucky.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not something you typically survive.
Steve, they used to tell us if you had rabies that you'd have to go in and get a shot in your navel. Is that still the case, or have they perfected that?
Well, so if you are exposed.
Why in your navel?
I don't know why.
I remember that, too.
You get the same story?
I think that's true still. So if it's thought that you have been exposed, you have to go through a number of shots to be certain that it's prevented, and it's worth doing that as opposed to, you know.
They made a big deal last week. They found a bat with rabies in the suburbs.
It happens.
But there's a lot of bats with rabies, aren't there?
Yes.
There
is. Well, let me rephrase that here. So a lot? No.
But decent percentage?
Yeah, they're out there.
Yeah.
They're out there. You know, raccoons.
Can you tell by looking at it with a bat if it's got rabies, or do you have to test it?
You have to test it, and the only way to do that is to...
It needs to be dead.
Euthanized.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
But you know, if an animal, this is a good opportunity for me to say this. If you see a raccoon, a bat, another wild animal that's acting abnormal or particularly friendly, coyote, actually, when that animal shouldn't be acting that way and should be afraid of people and just fearful in general, don't go near that animal without protection, or better, without a professional.
I told you we had a raccoon in our yard that just kept circling the yard. This is about this time last year. Just kept circling and circling. And
could be.
And opossums do not carry rabies.
Opossums do not.
I learned that from you.
Yeah, and the other thing amazing about opossums, we have to send thank you notes to opossums because they eat ticks. Spread all sorts of tick diseases, including Lyme.
That's weird because we have a lot of opossum. I'm just saying possum in our backyard.
Yeah,
I think they're living in our shed, and I've seen a mom carrying babies on her and stuff.
Oh,
and I got a tick bite
from.
We almost had to put Wendy down.
It had to have been from my yard.
Oh, sure. Yeah, they're out there. So not only are... Oh, thank you for the opportunity. Because not only
Wendy.
Thank you, Wendy.
I put the quarter in it.
Yep.
But I did get tested. My doctor gave
Lyme.
Put me on an antibiotic, and it was all negative, and it was a fast-acting result. So
did you get
that
little circle you sometimes get with Lyme?
No,
disease?
I did not.
But that always does not happen.
Right.
You know, so where there are ticks, there is tick disease. And there are more ticks right now in the Chicago area than ever before in the history, we think, of the planet. And that is due
to a whole lot of reasons.
Yeah. It's due to the wildlife that we've embraced, and I'm glad it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And us encroaching on the wildlife, suburbia, spreading and spreading.
Right.
It's probably due to climate changes as well. I know everybody says everything is due to climate. But really, if it's warmer longer, and if we have more warmer weather in the winter, more ticks survive.
That's how it is.
And ticks do spread tick disease. And this is the time of year, the fall is the time of year when dogs are most likely to get Lyme. People still can, for sure, but people are more likely to get it in the spring and summer dogs more likely in the fall.
That's why I give my dog flea and tick stuff.
Good.
So he didn't get bit.
Yeah.
Some of this
we
stuff,
can do more. You're right. We can do more to protect our dogs.
I took some
dogs.
Of his medicine.
You should. We can do more to protect our dogs than we can ourselves. Yeah.
Good to know.
Wendy, don't take too much, but a spoonful every afternoon
it's
is
a
the
that's
way.
How it works.
Yeah.
It depends on the kind you get. It could be a spot-on product along the back of the neck, or it can be a chewable.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Do those.
I'll just chew half.
Yeah, that's fine. You're fine.
Thank you for hanging with us.
Of course.
We can hear you on Sunday mornings at what time?
6:35 Sunday mornings.
That's Steve Dale. Silky D, as they call him in the business.
They do?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Behind your back.
They say a lot behind my back.
Fine, whatever. Thanks, Steve.
Be careful.
We appreciate it.
Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
Are you singing praises?
Hi, of Eric Zorn? Oh, yes. That's what I do on Mondays.
I didn't hear you singing the praises. I
do it internally.
Don't lie to me about it.
I don't sing your praises externally.
If you're not actually singing my praises.
Good to see you,
Eric. I don't want you to lie like
How
that.
Are you?
It's not becoming. I'm great.
You look bubbly. I don't know what's going on, but you have a bubbly look to you.
I had a nice weekend. You guys have good weekends?
No.
Not really.
No.
But I'm glad to be back to work, put it that way.
Does it feel like fall? It's fall.
No. Yep. I see the little leaves are trying to change colors, but they're kind of confused.
Yeah.
Can I tell you what it was for me? I watched the same Cubs game over and over and over again last week.
I know. It was like having a DVR. You hit the wrong program.
It was like if Groundhog Day
Are you guys done now?
Yes. Yes.
Really?
The towel has been thrown in.
Oh,
I mean, mathematically, they're not eliminated, but they're eliminated.
Them. It's them now, by the way.
Right.
It's
if not, if they're winning, we won.
We won.
We did great.
I've always been there.
See, we win and they lose.
Yeah,
right.
That's how it plays out.
Yeah, that Sorry, was,
But
Cubs
the
fans.
Same game over and over and over, a one-run loss.
Never seen anything like it.
Hasn't happened, they said, since the Old Testament was the last time. Cardinals took four games at Wrigley.
It's something like that, yeah.
At least we have the Bears tonight.
Yes.
Go Bears!
Yes. All right. How are you, Eric?
Good. I got in a lot of trouble last week on the show. We talked about Eddie Pinheiro, the kicker.
Injured Eddie Pinheiro.
How he thanked Jesus and told us we had to believe in God. We had that conversation last week, and I got...
I know.
So,
I know.
So
I didn't agree with you.
I got so much email.
Yeah.
Why do you?
Mostly from Wendy.
Yeah, what? I know.
It was mostly from Wendy?
I changed my name a bunch of times.
Why do you think people were so passionate and angry about that?
Well, part of it is that it sounded like I was criticizing his religion, his faith, which I was not doing. And part of it was that he had won the game as a hero, and I was I was harshing his mellow, and that was
got to take what you can get.
But it was very interesting. I had a bunch of interesting conversations about it, and then on Friday I wrote a comment about the Wheaton kids that want to preach at the Bean. You guys follow that story
a little bit?
I don't know.
Well,
Tell
they
me.
Sued the city. They went to the Bean over Millennium Park called Cloudgate, and they wanted to... Millennium Park is divided into like 11 quote-unquote rooms, like little sections of the park, and really you're only allowed to speak and hand out leaflets and so on. You exercise your First Amendment rights in one of them. It's the one that's right on the north west corner, right at Randolph in Michigan there.
I didn't know that was the case.
That's where you can preach the gospel or your political
views. So that's the city's way of saying you have your right to free speech, but we need to limit
it
to
some
extent.
But only in this one little spot.
Yeah.
And the Wheaton College students who were shooed away by security guards there sued the city saying, you know, hey, come on, this is a public park. We have a right to free speech here.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote a column saying that I kind of sympathize with them. I think that just having free speech in one little corner of the park is a little too restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I really sympathize with people who want to go to the Bean and take their picture in the reflecting surface and enjoy that without having people just coming up to them and proselytizing. And so I suggested that there be like a 100-foot speaking and proselytizing barrier around the Bean. That strikes me as a pretty good balance of people's right to enjoy that without being hassled or being confronted by people who are trying to. And what I wrote in the column was that I felt like I kind of wish that it weren't these fresh scrubbed Wheaton College kids who are so earnest and they're something like 71% of the population is Christian, and so they're expressing viewpoints that are shared by most people. I said, what if it were, instead of them, the people suing were like the Westboro Baptist Church people? You know, remember them?
They're
the ones who pick at the funerals of military veterans, saying that God is happy that the soldier has died, and so on. I mean, just this awful,
toxic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize you can't really allow these Wheaton College kids promoting this perfectly popular faith,
yeah,
unless right up against the bean, unless you're going to allow the Westboro Baptist people to shout their horrible slogans at people right in front of the bean. So
does that work to get someone to, I mean, I'm not going to change my church because I see either of them.
Does it work? It must. I mean, there must be
recruiting.
Do you guys ever walk in the Pedway? You know, see there's the this. I think it's the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah,
who are in the Pedway, Anyway, I think that's who it is, and they're always stationed in various places in the Pedway and also through downtown. And I figure it must pay off because they're there all the time, and they don't say anything to anybody unless you approach them. They don't come up to you.
Well, I might have a new person to talk to.
which is I mean, I think it's respectful. They've got a sign, they've got literature there. If you're interested, you can stop and talk to them. They seem like very approachable people. And does that work? I'm guessing that it does, otherwise they wouldn't be out there, and I'm guessing that the street corner preaching must pay off in some ways too.
Forgive me for not knowing this, but I honestly don't. With the kids from Wheaton College by the Bean, are they asking for donations?
No, I don't think they
are. What are they asking for?
I think they're just asking.
Spreading the word.
They're spreading the word. Yeah. Their faith calls on them to evangelize.
Yeah.
And that's
Can't they do it online now? I mean, isn't that what the internet's for? And they have a right to do it. I'm not saying they shouldn't, but, you know.
No, they have a right to do it. And I think that the number of places where you should prevent that, it should be very limited.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I had the same feeling about the protesters who wanted to prevent, who want to get in the faces of women going into
abortion clinics. Yeah,
I feel like they should be able to express their views.
Everybody mind their own business.
But I feel like they ought to be, but I think they ought to be at least like 15, 20 feet back. And they feel that this bubble is too large.
Mm-hmm.
That they want to be able to like put things in people's hands and so on. And I know that there's not actually a right to be left alone or the right to walk through the city in peace. But there should be, I think, something like that, at least informally, in the way we look at the First Amendment. We should
right.
say, like, yes, we're going to give you plenty of opportunity to say whatever you want to whoever you want, but you also want to give people a chance to enjoy something like the bean or maybe the face fountain as well. Just create a perimeter so that when you're inside that perimeter, people aren't coming up to you all the time and giving you the business. So anyway,
yeah.
I got a lot of mail on that too. So.
When you get a lot of mail over something like that, what are people hoping? Like, what was the gist of what their argument was?
Actually, I would say in that case, with the Eddie Pinheiro stuff, I would say that as I said to John Williams, we talked about it. I said dozens of people wrote to expressing support from my point of view, but scores of people wrote, and he didn't know the difference between dozens and scores.
Oh.
You know, John.
Wow.
But I said 4 score and 7 years ago. No, I'm going to say it was probably 2-1, something like that.
I'm surprised it wasn't higher.
But this was, I think the mail ran more to my favor. I think the people who were really angry wrote to Neil Steinberg at the Sun-Times, who wrote about the same topic, but he really dragged Wheaton College.
Did he?
It's worth going back and reading his column from Friday. Anyway, so
Eric Zorn is here, everybody. We'll take a quick break and then more discussions.
Eric Zorn is visiting with us today, as he does on almost every Monday.
Just about every Monday. Holidays, I don't come in.
No, you deserve that time to yourself, Eric.
Labor Day, Monday.
You really do.
I'm not there.
Can we talk about tipping with you?
I do want to talk about this. The story just posted to the Tribune website, and it's about a proposal that's in front of the City Council's Committee on Workforce Development that will... There's a wage they pay to people who are tipped, right? That are it's lower, significantly lower than the minimum wage. The tipping wage is $6.40 an hour, and the minimum wage in Chicago is currently $13 an hour. And this proposal would eliminate this tipped wage and make it so that everybody who is paid, you know, minimally like that would be making at least minimum wage, which is going up to $15 an hour. And it's a big discussion right now because of this proposal has 37 sponsors in the 50 member city council. So it looks like it's really strong possibility it's going to go through. But the Restaurant Association is really opposed to it because obviously it's going to raise their prices, raise their costs, I should say, and they say they're going to have to raise prices and that this is going to discourage people from eating out.
Yeah.
And it's a really interesting question because, you know, there are a lot of servers who make more than the minimum wage.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, the story that we posted talks about the fact that in the Chicago metro area, the average wage of waiters and waitresses is $11.23 an hour.
Yeah.
And that people tip on average. Can you guess what the average tip in the Chicago area is?
Percentage-wise?
20%.
The average
tip. I'm going to guess the average is far lower, probably 12-13%.
It's 16.7.
Oh.
Which is the
higher
average.
Than I thought.
Really?
Yeah, it should be 20. Wendy's right. It should be 20. I think 20 is kind of the minimum unless you get really terrible service. Because...
Wait, 20 is the minimum?
No. I think 20 is the minimum.
Oh, I think
it should be the minimum. Okay. I think that's what... I think.
Yeah. I think 20 is just acceptable. I don't think you have to go much above that.
Well, okay, but unless you get really bad service. The thing is that has kind of always been based, for me anyway, on the idea that these men and women who are waiting tables are being paid really low
wages. $2 an hour or something.
It's actually up now, like they said, to $6.40 an hour. But still, you can't make a living on $6.40 an hour and living in this area. So, you know, the idea that you tip 20%, the question is then for diners becomes, well, if they're going to be paid minimum wage, should I still feel obligated to tip 20%?
Right. It's a good question.
Is it built into my, because I'm paying for their higher wages and higher food costs
right.
at the restaurant. They said in this article, this is a great article, by the way, it's by Alexia Ruiz, and you should check it out on the Tribune site. She goes into a lot of detail, but they say that there are seven states so far, California, Nevada, Washington, Oregon, Montana, Minnesota, and Alaska, that have laws like this on the books for tipped workers that include car wash workers, airport wheelchair attendants, hairdressers, and things like that. That these things are all are enforced, and that it doesn't seem to affect the amount of tips that they get.
Oh, it doesn't? I'm surprised.
They still get the same amount of tips, so that maybe it's become this ingrained thing. But it does be. I mean, my initial reaction to this is that I guess my initial reaction to it is a little negative. Because if we have a decent floor, on the other hand, if they're only making an average of a little more than $11, not mm-hmm. like $12 an hour, mm-hmm. they should be making what the minimum wage. It should be making at least $13 an hour, right?
But that's not our problem.
Well, I think it's a societal problem. If you want people to make that much money, and there is some provision in the law allegedly that requires a restaurant owner or a restaurant manager to raise the rate so that they're making at least minimum wage, to raise their pay to kick in to do that. So I mean, I guess the question for us and for everyone listening is, if they do this, if they raise this wage to $15 an hour, which will be done by 2022, I think in Chicago is the proposal, does that mean that we would continue to tip at 20%, or do you feel
lower a few percentage points?
If they're being paid that much more, do we cut the amount of money being tipped?
Yeah.
I don't know. I would tip the same.
Would you?
Yeah. I mean, it's a food thing. They're bringing you food.
I think I would too. I think it's just a habit, and it would be weird and difficult to go back to 10% or whatever the old 15% standard used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it will raise everybody's prices, mm-hmm. and it'll probably drive some smaller diners out of business.
Sure. Right?
Some places that if you're having to pay your staff that much,
yeah.
and then you have to raise your prices, and then suddenly people are going, like, gee, well, they're charging $12 a burger. I should be going to a fancier restaurant, something like that.
We've eaten, Terry and I eat out quite a bit.
That's what I'm told, yeah.
She was a waitress herself all through college and a couple of years after. And because of that, we've eaten in places where the service has been horrendously bad, and she still won't let us tip lower than 20%. We've had a couple of instances where everything has been horrible. And
I bet that drives you nuts.
Well, she says you have no idea what's going on behind the scenes. You can't always blame your... And I don't always blame the wait person.
That is really true, right? Because if your food is slow to come to the table...
What if they ignore you? That's their fault.
Or they might have too many tables. But there is sort of a manner that good service. You eat out so much. It's like someone... You can go to a restaurant where the food is slow and the person is overworked, but they're pleasant about it.
Or they say sorry for the wait.
And they explain what's going on.
Right.
And you just like, here's a hardworking person.
Right. It's out of your control.
Dealing with circumstances out of his or her control. And so, you say, well, that person deserves it. In fact, they probably deserve a bigger tip because they're having a bad day, and there are probably people who are taking it out on them.
Yeah.
And I've had experiences in restaurants where I've had bad service, but pleasantly bad service, if you know what I mean, where the server is pleasant, the things are you know, the order's wrong, mm-hmm. everything like that, but it's not the server's fault,
right?
And I feel like that person almost probably needs more in the way of a tip,
because
they're working so
Bill,
hard.
Because of you, I now tip when I pick up food, and it drives me nuts, because if you eat in there and they're bringing you water and they're cleaning up, then you tip them. But if I'm ordering food and going to pick it up, I don't feel I should tip them. And because of you, I do now.
I never used to do it, and then it was explained to me, again, by my wife, that you still have to give them a couple bucks. You don't always have to do 20%. That's a bit much for it, but... What,
now
the,
you
the,
tell
the
me.
The law that I've had in my head is...
Wendy's going back to those places and getting
am,
their money
back.
If I see them physically, like if when I go up to the front and say, hey, we called in an order, here's the name, if there's some back and forth where they have to go get stuff and they have to put it in the bag, and then I go, okay, they really have exerted some effort. I owe them a couple of extra dollars.
They do exert effort. And remember, a lot of your tip, some of your tip, anyway, I know it's a lot is the wrong word, but some of your tip goes to the back of the house.
Sure.
Right? It goes back to the kitchen and the other people who are preparing
bus
your food.
Boys and stuff.
And those people, all the cooks, too.
Yeah.
And that those people are working just as hard for your carryout order as they are when you're dining in.
Right.
So there is a sense of, the person is not coming out and refilling your water glass and bringing your food out to your table, but there is I don't know what they're paid also. I mean,
yeah,
maybe they're paid the normal minimum wage, but I always throw in a couple of bucks. It's usually not 20%, but
I've been tipping 20% when I pick it up.
I don't do
I know.
That. I don't go that
Bill's
high.
Fault.
Now I got to give Eric $2 for coming
yes, you
in.
Do.
I am sick of tipping non-traditional tipping things.
Yeah, I understand
I'm sick
that.
Of it.
I do understand, because I think those people, the people who are at counter at the coffee shop. And,
right.
So I think those people are, I hope they're paid minimum wage.
And they
wage.
Get benefits, a lot of them. I mean, where does it end? Where's
well, that
my
is,
tip?
That is, I mean, are they working any harder than the person at the clothing store who helps you find your right size?
Do you have to tip them now, too?
No,
yes.
You don't. The people who I think deserve to be tipped but never do get tipped are the people who bag your groceries at the supermarket.
I would
Wendy's
like
looking
to do
at me
it.
Like
no,
like,
because
me.
I would like to do it myself.
Okay.
I wish they'd get out of my way.
Would you
and
have
I,
to do
sometimes
it
if they're really busy and there isn't someone bagging mine, I go to the end and start bagging my own.
I often help out, too.
I like it.
I fight them for that.
It's my dream job.
For the eggs. I make
and then they go, clean up aisle 6, and Wendy's like, I got this. I'll take care of this.
I've got it.
Eric, thanks for stopping by.
Great to see you
Greatly
guys.
Appreciated. Coming up, the stories that matter with Jordan Bernfield from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.